Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and I have the wonderful Gareth Soloway back to have a chat with us today. He's chief founder and chief market strategist for InTheMoneyStocks.com. So if you want to find out about what Gareth is doing, make sure you head to his website. He's got lots of valuable information there. But boy, what a day to be chatting to you, Gareth, when Tesla's down by 12%. We've spoken in the past about the volatility of the markets. Goodness me, talk about volatile. And I'm so happy to talk to you today because I'm scratching my head saying, do I sell everything and go sit on a desert island, or is this just a bump in the road? So welcome back to Small Caps. Good to see you.
Hey, so good to see you too, Karen. Thank you for having me back. And like you said, a wild market, almost the last week, ever since Netflix was down 37% on earnings, the market has been just so jittery. And I think that's really what's gotten to the market. So today after the bell, we had Google report, Alphabet as it's known, but I always call it Google, and Microsoft, right? And then tomorrow you have Facebook, and then Thursday after the close in the US markets, you have Apple and Amazon. So the way I look at it is after this Netflix report where it got clobbered down 37%, the market is really nervous about these reports, especially when you have these trillion-dollar companies where if they were to drop like that, I mean, it could crash the market, right? So the market is very on edge as we get into these reports. Initially, we saw, Alphabet sold off sharply on earnings. We then saw Microsoft initially go up, then go down. The markets were getting crushed after hours here. And then Microsoft came back and is now up nicely. So it's kind of saving the after hours here. Who knows what happens tomorrow? But the one thing I've been telling people is like, we had all the way through Thursday here in the US, the Thursday market close when we have Apple and Amazon, it's like a minefield. So the market is trying to tiptoe around these earnings and figure out, you know, can we stay involved? Can we stay long the market when you have these reports coming out? And any one of them could blow up and create a big market sell-off. So it is wild right now. And that's not, I didn't even mention the Federal Reserve next week is potentially raising interest rates by 50 basis points.
50 basis points, you think?
Yeah, I think it's a foregone conclusion at this point. It will be 50. The Fed has done a very, very good job of kind of just letting the markets know. So I think the markets, weirdly enough, I think the markets are expecting that. If the US stock market sells more heavily going into that, the Fed may even be slightly less hawkish, which obviously could give the market a little bit of confidence. But again, this is a wild time in the markets. I mean, you mentioned Tesla getting crushed. I mean, it is just nuts out there.
Well, it is nuts out there. And one of the things that I like to do when I chat to you is we've got an audience out there that, like me, are scratching their heads going, how do I not only protect my wealth, what should I be looking at the moment? Because it seems to me that the tech stocks are the ones that are leading the sell-off, but not necessarily commodities. So would you be safer having a portfolio which was more skewed towards commodities and away from the tech stocks? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, so I think that for safe purposes, and again, commodities is a little tricky to kind of group everything as a whole, but if you're looking for safety, I really think gold is the place to be right now. Silver, platinum, maybe a little bit, but gold is really the safest play because it's not really an industrial metal either. So it's purely a play for safety, a play for inflation hedging, which is really the safest place in this environment. We know Bitcoin's still going down. We know that stocks are going down. We know that there's lots of other issues out there. So I do think that skewing it more towards the metals is the right move right now. Now, that's not to say there's not opportunity, right? So you look at a stock like Netflix, which is now trading at about an 18 or 17 PE ratio. I never thought I'd see the day, frankly, when that was the case, but here we are. And, you know, you look at how oversold it is. And so there are opportunities if you're a little shorter term, if you want to hold it for maybe a month or two, where I do think you'll get a 10, 15, 20% bounce. Same thing maybe for Meta, which is Facebook. You know, the stock is just getting rocked in the after hours $100 today, was at $175 a share. And that's down from $380, you know, wow, not that long ago. So, I mean, you have, there are quality names which are getting in the value range, but I strongly encourage people to not think about these as long-term holds yet, because I still think the Fed is going to continue to tighten. I still think eventually they're going to cause a recession. And I think these stocks will bounce, but then likely eventually head back and go lower.
So what you're saying now is that this particular period of time where they have had a bit of a sell-off, there could be a nice a nice play to be had. Buy them now, but don't just buy them and walk away. Keep an eye on them. And when you've had a bit of a return, off you go again.
Yeah, I think that's the play, is to buy quality stocks, the ones we've always heard about, the Netflix, the Facebook, these type of plays down in these low levels, very near the lows, and then just kind of look for that big bounce, which should come in the not too distant future. In fact, you know, the stock market and some of these tech stocks are hitting some major technical supports in this range. But again, I do worry that it's just a shorter term bounce. So if you're someone who doesn't really look at the market on a daily basis, you may just want to sit in gold or some commodities, or even just sit on the side. Nothing wrong with being in cash and being ready to jump on a great opportunity when it comes up.
You said a moment ago that the likelihood of a recession is getting closer. When we've spoken in the past, you said, look, you know, it could happen, but now it's almost like a fait accompli from how your words are today.
Yeah. So I'd be so surprised if we avoid a recession by the end of this year or next year. It might just be kind of on the tip by the end of this year. But, you know, the Fed is definitely going to be acting aggressively. And then you have to look at the stock market. And if the more aggressive the Fed acts, the more the stock market is going to decline. The more the stock market declines, the less money people have, or they feel less wealthy, right? The wealth effect that was driving the economy for the last couple of years. So you are going to see at some point after this COVID initial reopening spending kind of dies out, I think people are going to say, wait a minute, you know, and listen, the NASDAQ's down over 20% now. I mean, if we do another 10 or 20%, that's a hefty drop. People's 401ks are going to be down sharply at that point. And they're definitely going to take a second look and think about, you know, spending as much as they were initially.
And that's the thing, isn't it, Gareth? Because it is the psychology of the markets as well. And I want to go into some charts in a minute, but it's almost the psychology of the market. Once it starts, it's like the ball rolling downhill, gathers steam, everybody panics, and the majority of people just go hold their hands in the air and go, I'm out.
Yeah. And that happens every cycle. And it always drives me nuts because I think very logically, I follow the charts. So like, you know, when people were buying these stocks when they were at all time highs, and, you know, you turn on the TV and everyone's like, oh, these are the greatest stocks in the world. I'm like, oh my God, these things are so scary to me. You know, like the price to earnings, price to revenue, and all these type of metrics are just way out of whack. And now people wait for them to fall down sharply. And then they're like, oh my goodness, now I have to exit. So again, it's all emotion. We know the stock market is driven by emotion, greed and fear, right? The two most powerful emotions for us as humans. And that's what happens. And you're right. The snowball effect, as it goes down, it catches more people throw in the towel. You have institutions that at some point are unloading and they're throwing in the towel, and it just becomes a very nasty event.
Well, you said the Fed's meeting next week that you think it'll be 50 basis points. That could be a little bit of another way that the market might react to that and come back down a little bit more. Let's throw up a chart of the gold price, because you like gold and you know I'm known as that gold lady. So I want to see that gold chart and see.
Let's take a look. And I know you and I know you have your gold conference in June coming up. So this is going to be, I mean, some real hardcore analysis where you don't have that conference very far off now. So it should be really spectacular to watch, to see what I'm going to tell you guys on gold here.
Okay.
All right. So we do know that, and again, last time we talked, we know that gold had broken out and it went to about the double top, right? So I'll draw in some trend lines so we're all on the same page. If we take a trend line right here, this was your initial breakout, right? And remember, Carrie, we talked about how the price action in gold from 2018 to 2020 mirrored 1973 to 1975, then 2020 to 2022 was 75 to 77. And now we're beginning that breakout that back in the 70s took gold up a massive amount. So you can see the breakout here, right? And what you did was you went right up to the technical resistance, which was double top. So this is exactly behaving how gold should in terms of charting. Double top resistance right here, price has to come back in. Now, generally what you see is you see what's called a retrace to the scene of the breakout. And this trend line is that scene. So I'm still expecting gold to come in just a little bit more over the next couple of weeks. And then you're going to get your best buying opportunity. All right. Now, by the way, if you're someone who, you know, is going to hold gold for a year, 5 years, 10 years, it doesn't matter whether it falls $50 here or not, right? We're talking from my perspective of being a trader where I need to get in as close to the lows as possible to maximize my near-term gains. But bottom line is, I think anything 1850 down to 1825, huge buying opportunity, and then you're going to see the next big move up. And that move should take us easily through this double top high of around 2070 and probably take us towards that $2,500 level, which I still have a target on for the end of this year.
End of this year, not June this year, because we said a minute ago, the psychology of the markets is also important. So it's the psychology of people's thinking. But as you said, gold is one of your commodities that you like at the moment, especially in volatile times.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the one place where in this market environment, I feel like I could go to sleep and sleep relatively well. You know, if I'm in Bitcoin, I don't know if overnight it's going to drop 10%. If I'm in stocks, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Is it going to be a Tesla where it's down 12%? NASDAQ today was down over 3.5% alone. After hours, it was at one point down another 2%, bounced back from that point. But again, you know, gold is definitely the safe haven. It doesn't move that crazy. And I think there's a lot of upside coming in the remainder of this year.
A lot of people, since we last spoke, have reached out to me and said, when you next speak to Gareth, can you ask him about silver? Because there's a lot of people out there that they kind of like silver. They want to know whether or not, and it's a little bit softer at the moment. Gold price seems to be steadying, if not strengthening a little at the moment. But as you said a second ago, gold still could have a little bit of weakness, but silver doesn't seem to be doing very much.
Yeah. So what we're seeing in silver here is exactly what I talked about happening probably in the next week or two in gold, which is it's retracing to the scene of the crime or the scene of the breakout. So I love showing this chart here because this is almost like a peek into the future of gold, where you have this downsloping trend line. You broke out above it here, and then you came back in and you're right back to that point. So in terms of a buying opportunity, this I would act on in terms of silver. I would be a buyer here of silver. It's major, major retrace support here. And I do think after this, you're going to start to trend higher on silver and potentially make your way back to 30. So I do think silver is a good opportunity here. There's lots of support here. The only thing I'd be careful of, So this is kind of the trade setup, right? So see this lower trend line right here. You just, if silver comes down in here, okay, no big deal. Down here, no big deal. You just don't want to see silver get below 21.5. That would be a point that would concern me that it's going to make a bigger break to the downside and probably at that point go all the way down to like 18 or so. But honestly, right now, I don't even think you need to think about that. Right now, it's on major support right here, this orange trend line. This is a technical buying opportunity.
So long term, you like silver as well. I'm looking at the technical and the charts here, but in the longer term, like gold.
So I think the biggest thing on silver is you just have to be fully aware as an investor that it's also industrial based, right? So yes, it's a store of safety. It tends to move more wildly than gold. So you have to take that into account when you're allocating capital to it. But I do think at this point you go into it just with maybe a little bit of a less percentage. So for instance, in my portfolio, you know, in general, I like to have as much as 10% of my portfolio in gold. I'd probably only do about 5% in silver because it does have more volatility and more unknowns due to the industrial side.
All right, let's go move on to some of the other areas. I want to touch on Bitcoin, but not yet.
Okay.
Let's leave Bitcoin towards the end. We've spoken about the oil price before. What are your views on that? What's that chart looking like at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. So we know, you know, I kept on being bearish when oil was at the highs at the 120, 130 level. So far, I've been correct on that. And what we see here is that we continue to trade inside of this little wedge pattern. And a wedge pattern, all a wedge pattern is you're connecting the highs of the recent moves and the lows of the recent moves. And it creates this kind of triangle slash wedge pattern. And what you watch for on this is basically, which way does it break? So does it break to the downside or does it break to the upside? If you break to the upside, this could start trending maybe back to 115 or so. My guess is you're going to probably see a break to the downside. And again, as the Fed tightens, as the economy kind of starts to sputter due to a stock market that's not performing like it has for the last few years, the idea is that the economy is going to slow. And the global economy, we know that Europe is suffering due to the Russia invasion of Ukraine and the supply chain and all of these issues. So it's very hard for me to think about a situation where oil could break out above 130. And I'm much more likely on the side that oil, because of a lack of demand in a slowing global economy, that you're going to head lower. So bottom line is you're trading in a range right now. You can see the most volatile move was at the start, then less volatile, less volatile. Now you're looking to see which way it breaks. I think you're going to end up breaking to the downside and heading to 84. And then eventually, I think by November, by the midterms here in the US, I think it could be $75, $76 a barrel.
Wow. And that's huge, because a lot of people do talk about that. We're moving, Gareth, into, I guess, it's one of the biggest challenges for all of us at the moment, which is the green economy, the electric vehicle revolution, if you like. And that impacts a lot of the commodities such as the coppers, the lithiums, et cetera. Have you got a view on that sector and the move? Is there money moving away from the tech stocks into some of the alternative, I guess, the critical minerals?
Yeah, so definitely there is some, right? So let's take a look at the lithium ETF, because this is a very interesting chart here. It's actually had a breakdown recently. It's way off of the highs. So you can see it traded near $97 up here on the chart. It's now all the way down below 62. And I'll actually say that it's actually coming into some very, very interesting support down here. There's a big trend line around this 50, 55 level. So 55 gets hit, and I'm a buyer of this in the near term. I think it's important to understand why. So everyone's saying, well, if everyone's switching to electric vehicles, why is lithium on the downward motion when that's a big component of the battery? And the answer is just simply that the fear is that the economy is slowing. People will be buying less cars, less electric vehicles. Electric vehicles still tend to cost a little bit more. So the idea is that people will just have less money to spend. And so therefore, there might be less demand out there. Ultimately, I think that's a short-term situation, as all these car makers are switching over to all electric over the next 10 years or so. So I think longer term, lithium is going to be fine and outperform. But I do think that, again, this fear of a slowing economy, the Fed, the central banks tightening, that's going to lead to this downside continuing just in the short term until you get to this 55 level on lithium.
Again, so there could be, out of every crisis comes opportunity. And that's what we're trying to show people at the moment, is don't panic. When everybody else is panicking, getting out of the market and freaking out, your role, with Gareth's help, is to keep calm and soldier on. Don't you think, Gareth?
That is 100% right. And I'll tell you is that when people react emotionally, they do the wrong thing. They get in at the highs when everyone's talking it up, and you know, you go into a store and your buddies are all telling you about it, or vice versa, or even on Twitter, right? We know Twitter, when Bitcoin was at 65, 68,000, everyone was on it, and so many people bought in because they were emotionally triggered. So as the best investors are in the world are the ones that do not have that emotion, that attachment to any stock. You treat a stock like a vehicle for you to make money. Therefore, you need to analyze it accordingly, buy low, sell high, and have major factors as to why you're investing. A valid factor is not, hey, I saw it on Twitter. I'm sorry. That's not a valid factor, right? So it has to be, all right, well, what is the chart telling me? What are the fundamentals? Is there the long-term demand for lithium? You know, what's the angle for gold? Why would you invest in gold? And the answer is, well, inflation, right? Inflation, I think, is going to be sticky. Yeah, it'll come down from 8 to 10%, but it's going to be sticky around 5 or 6%. So that's long-term, 10 years of inflation, probably in that range. You know, all of these type of things, that the market's kind of crashing, or not crashing, but collapsing, that makes people want to move to safety. So these are valid reasons versus, oh my goodness, everyone's talking it up. That's not a valid reason.
And speaking of that, I really, again, because we hardly ever talk about this, but I want to explain to our audience, with your help, what you can do. So for those that, for example, don't understand the importance of charting, do you provide some training in that area? What can you give investors out there to help support what they're doing if they're a little bit confused or they're new to the market and they don't know what to do?
Yeah. So I do at In the Money Stocks, we do offer courses, so webinars, recorded courses, and I'm actually in the process of producing a 3-course kind of package, which is all new kind of recorded content, which I will be releasing probably in about 2 months. So basically what it delves into is the psychology of the market, getting your discipline under control, the charts, you know, all the charting that I do, all the technical resistance supports. How do you tell if it's a pivot high? How do you know if it's a real breakout versus a fake out? All of these things. And it's so, so important because, you know, there's so many investors who get suckered in. And if you look at 2007, it was the same way, right? People just at the end got long the market and then it collapsed. And you could say the same thing where, you know, in 2021, COVID brought everyone in the market. It caused a big up move, but now look at the collapse coming. And yes, there are some people that are smart and they get out near the highs, but most average investors don't know when to. And it's so important to understand how to read the signals that tell you that.
But if you're a long-term holder, don't panic. Just ride the waves, if you like. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I mean, again, it depends on your time horizon. You know, for people in 2007 going into 2008, it took them quite a while to recoup their money. Same thing of the dot-com collapse. It took many, many years for the NASDAQ to finally come up and take out. I think it was as much as 10 plus years for the NASDAQ to come back up. But if you have 20 years, 30 years, I mean, you have the time. Time is on your side. The markets will inevitably go higher, you know, continue to be smart. And what I always say is, during rough times, it's the scariest to put money to work, but that's when you need to. So think about dollar cost averaging. You know, if you're in Facebook, right, or Meta, and it's down significantly and you're in from a higher price, you know, as it comes down, just throw a little bit of money on a monthly basis into it, bring that average down. It's a quality name. They're getting into that kind of Meta side of things. It probably will be fine in the future.
One of the biggest stocks here in Australia is BHP. I'm not sure whether you follow that at all, but that got to a bit of a high in the 50s recently. And I noticed yesterday it was back under 50. Be interesting your take on, you know, the big Australian, as some people call it.
Yeah. So the first thing I spot on this, and this is something that everyone needs to learn, is that when you have a dip like this and you come back up to the highs, this is called a double top, and it's going to naturally be resistant. So you actually should, going into this, you should have expected a pullback, right? And the psychology, this is really cool stuff. Let me explain the psychology of why that works. And the psychology is this, is that you had people that were buying in all up in this range, right? All up when it was previously, this is August of 2021, they were buying for many, many days as it was chopping here, and then it collapsed. And those people were caught in that trade and they were freaking out as it was coming down. They were saying, oh my goodness, I'm down on this trade. I can't believe I just bought in and it collapsed on me. And now what's happened is, and this is the psychological part, it's come back to where they're break even. And a human nature is to say, okay, I'm back to break even. Thank goodness I didn't end up losing. I'm just going to get out and get out of this trade, right? And that's why double tops work, because you have the selling pressure from those people kind of putting a top in on the trade or on BHP. So BHP, beautiful sell-off. We've seen this. It does have some support down in this 44-45 range. So that's something to watch. For me, on a swing trade or investment basis, I would actually look even lower. This would be a better level for me, right around $38 to $39.
Wow. Okay. And is if we can, I'd love to have a look at Rio as well, because that's the other big one for us, whether it's behaving in a similar way.
Yeah, so this one didn't quite get back to the highs. So that shows a little short-term relative weakness to it. Same thing applies, though. There's a fantastic trend line where I would look to be a buyer on it. What you can do is you can kind of see how there's a trend line right through these. Oops, let me get that in there. and we can adjust that to go right to the low. So what this is telling me is that you likely have some downside, but $90 is likely where you're going to have major, major support. But yeah, right now, again, all of these stocks have had pullbacks after their big runs. And again, it'd be interesting to see what if this does come down. We'll have to remember to check back in on these in the next time we talk in a month or so.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to have a look at that in a month or so. God, goodness knows where we're going to be in a month or so. But Gareth, as always, we're going to do a little chat on Bitcoin because you are Mr. Bear, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to Bitcoin.
Short term only, though, remember.
Mr. Bear is in the house. Let's have a look at what you think about Bitcoin.
All right. So number one, yes, the chart, I one of the things to remember is that as a good investor or trader, you never want to be emotionally biased, right? So when I say I'm bearish in this next 3 to 6 months, it's because the chart is telling me that there's a formation where probabilities favor that. And that formation, simply put, is what we call a bear flag. You have the big drop from 69,000, and then you see this tight range that it's been trading in. That's known as a bear flag. And usually, if you looked at 100 of these charts with this same formation, about 80 of them would break to the downside like this. So that's where the bearish stance comes from. I will say that I'm a big believer in Bitcoin and blockchain technology. So I think that after we see a flush out and after we get kind of a dot-com reckoning for the crypto space, I do think Bitcoin is off to the races and does become that digitalized gold that everyone hopes it does become. So yes, Bitcoin, interestingly enough, it trades exactly like a tech stock. You could argue that it's a risk on, risk off asset. So the best example of that was yesterday, the NASDAQ initially was down and Bitcoin was down. Then the NASDAQ reversed and Bitcoin went green. Today, the NASDAQ got smoked and Bitcoin also got smoked. So it's trading along the lines of the NASDAQ. So interestingly enough, if you're looking at the NASDAQ and you think it's going to go lower, then it means that Bitcoin likely would as well. Now, the big break is going to come if this trend line here gets taken out. So if you get below, I would say like 37,500 and it stays there, that's where you probably get the next leg down. Short-term support, you're going to have at 33,000, which is that former low from just a few months ago from January. And then if it takes that out, the next spot is going to be around 29 to 30,000, which was the low from 2021. Now, the only thing I want to say is that you'll get bounces at these levels, but I do have a target of 20 or sub 20,000 on Bitcoin, unfortunately. So I do expect it to go.
Did you say sub 20,000?
20 or below? Yes. Yes, I did. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. I know people love Bitcoin and I understand that. But again, you know, if you think about what happened in the dot-coms, Amazon was $112 at its peak in the dot-coms. It went to $6. You know, we saw a lot of the dot-coms go out of business. I do think the crypto space, there's 19,000 cryptocurrencies out there. I don't know how all those survived. They need to be flushed out. Yeah. And I think you have to think it in a Darwinian kind of thought process, where if you want crypto to really get hold and grow and Bitcoin's market cap to go to 5 billion, 10 billion, or 10 trillion, excuse me, you need to see a lot of these other cryptos get out of their way. And same thing for Ethereum, Solana, you know, the big players are probably the ones that will survive, but you have to have that healthy washout. Unfortunately, in a healthy washout, just like Amazon in 2000, it's going to create a drop in Bitcoin as well.
But you don't think, I mean, Bitcoin's not going anywhere. It's the granddaddy of them all.
Yeah.
It's not going to disappear.
100%. I mean, nothing's 100%, but according to everything I see, Bitcoin is here to stay. I think in 20, 30 years, we will still be talking about Bitcoin. The only difference is it's going to be 500,000, a million, you know, it'll be much, much higher at that point. It's just, you know, these are just the short-term cycles in the market, right? I mean, if you look at 2017, Bitcoin dropped from 20,000 to 3,000. If you look at 2013, it went from like 1,300 down to like 200 or 100. You know, it's just the nature of the beast is that it's a very volatile asset still because it's relatively new. I always like to tell people that, you know, it started in 2009 and it's 2022. So it's a 13-year-old, right? And whether you have kids or you don't, or you were a 13, we know how emotional we were and how kind of out of the world we were. So you just have to kind of, you know, it's going to behave like this. If you have your bias for the long term, just hold on. Otherwise trade it accordingly.
Final question for you today, Gareth. The currency markets out there, US dollar, Aussie dollar, what are you seeing? play out there? Because again, that's becoming a little volatile as well. I know the Aussie dollar has weakened a little bit recently.
Yeah. So I'm really glad you asked me about this, because I think the dollar is on the verge of topping out here. So check out this trend line that I have. So if you go back to 2016 and you put a trend line starting at that peak and then connect it to the peak in 2020, look at where we are. I mean, look at how close we are. We're literally 20 cents away on the DXY of hitting that. So what that would tell me is that the dollar may go up just a little bit more here. And then I would expect a pullback in the dollar, which will probably mean relative to the Aussie or to the yen, you're going to see those currencies start to strengthen against the dollar. And that also is interesting, because you could make a case that this move up in the dollar is kind of the opposite of what the stock market is doing. So the stock market has been falling as the dollar has been getting stronger. Okay. And you might extrapolate out that says that, okay, well, if the dollar starts to pull back, maybe the stock market can actually get a technical bounce.
Yeah, what are the probabilities? Love this.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, the probabilities, I would say off this trend line, is probably about a 70 to 80% chance that you pull back in the dollar here, which is pretty high. Now, whether or not it correlates with the stock market getting a bounce, I would say at least technology should get a bounce very, very soon. I think once we get through these minefields of earnings and maybe the Fed, I think the market may say, we're through the earnings season. All right. No more Netflixes, hopefully. And then maybe you get a kind of a buy the dip kind of mentality, at least for a short term only.
Yep. Short term only, buy the dip, but also make sure you do your own research. So Gareth, yes, if people want to come and find your courses, what you're doing, the last word goes to you. How do you help people? Where can they find you?
Sure. So Twitter is the easiest place, where I just put out interesting tweets and little kind of comments on the market, sometimes charts, at Gareth Soloway. And then I have two websites. The crypto website, crypto only, is verifiedinvestingcrypto.com. I put out swing trades on crypto, as well as a daily video. And then inthemoneystocks.com is only stocks, ETFs, commodities like gold. And again, you can come get the swing trades there, as well as daily videos. Plus, that website has all my educational content.
He is a busy man, ladies and gentlemen, and I so appreciate you coming and having a chat and helping us educate our beautiful community out there. Gareth Soloway, thanks so much for joining me on Small Caps again.
Thank you so much.